continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. May the Lord bless the reading of this scriptural portion. For about 10 days I was in Kerala and Tamil Nadu, as Lord has led me for the ministries in that area. I'm sure all of you are praying for me as an assembly. I could enjoy the grace of God during that ministries in both these places. At Kerala, they are related with the YMEF camp. I was there. I was sharing the God's word and there. Afterwards, I was in Rajapalayam, near about 4 or 5 hours journey from Kerala. It's in the borders of Tamil Nadu. Really, the meetings were great blessings in that area. Many denominational people came to attend the meetings. And of course, they asked me to speak from the book of Revelation, so I was taking that. Meanwhile, I shared the gospel to them, and it was a great joy to see that many souls are added. Even more than 10 people came forward and accepted the Lord. Out of that, one was a sub-inspector, so it's nice to see that a sub-inspector also committed his life. His wife was already in the fellowship, but he was not. He and his children came to the Lord, 3 of them together, father and 2 daughters. And others also from various other denominational background, they were there. I don't know whether you know, P.I. Abraham was the Rajapalayam. He was the minister for so many years, about 50 years he was serving the Lord in that place. That is how the assembly was established. He was from Kerala, and his wife is still there. She is remaining alone there. In that place at present. All her children, she said, all my children are away. 4 children, 2 are in States, 1 is in South Africa, and 1 is in Muscat. They are calling the mother, but she is not interested to go. And there, the reason, she is so much intimately associated with the believers there, their love and affection, and she is really a great encouragement for the sisters. She only brought many to the meeting, and those who came to the Lord, she was very happy in that that thing. So she said, I will encourage, I told Andy, please encourage them and to remain in the faith, and that is what I shared with them. So it was really, I enjoyed the Rajapalayam meetings, I sincerely thank all the believers, those who were prayed for the various ministries. Of course, in Kerala also, Neyyatigire also, Lord has strengthened me and to minister his word. If God willing, I'll be traveling again to Rajasthan, and this Sunday morning I'll be here, Sunday afternoon, for 10 days I'll be going for the Bible school there in Rajasthan, which I was postponed for some reasons. Anyhow, I had to go and take the classes there. Please uphold me in your prayers. You know, our parents are not keeping well, both the house of Felicity's parents, also my parents. I could stay 2 days with my parents there. But now my dad is very seriously ill, and he is now admitted in the hospital. He is in the hospital. So please uphold him in your prayers as he is on the hospital. So these days we were studying about the assembly gatherings. I told you that there were 2 or 3 are gathered together. That is the word which is used. Sunago, that is the word is used. Gathering together, that is the first time, refers to the assembly gathering. There are different types of assembly gatherings. We consider that there are 7 different gatherings of the New Testament assemblies mentioned in the Bible. Out of that, one we have considered in detail, that is, they are gathered together, here in this verse is there, they are gathered together in breaking of bread. That is the Lord's Supper. I think we are sometimes back, we studied in detail about that gathering. So altogether about 7 times the word, that same word, sunago, gathered together, is used. So the 7 gatherings of the assembly is very, very important for the spiritual growth. I always pray that out of that all the 6 gatherings should be there for a local assembly. One, I pray that that should not happen. That gathering is the gathering for the discipline, for excommunication. That should not happen in a local assembly, but sometimes it happens also. So the 6 gatherings are very essential for the normal healthy growth of a local assembly. And of course the 7th, the discipline is also needed if it is essential. And that we see in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they gather together for the process of excommunicating a wicked man from their assembly. So that is a very painful thing. It is not that easy. It is like an amputation, you know, our body parts are removed out. It's a really painful thing. But if it's a cancerous, definitely it has to remove. There's no other way. Sometimes we cannot keep it up. So if it's not removed, it will damage the whole body. So that is a painful thing, but sometimes we have to execute that. Now today I was praying, I was thinking about the prayer meeting of the local assembly. Here in verse 42, we see about the 4 things the apostles, they have done it. One, they steadfastly, they gathered, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, that is Bible teaching ministry. Then we see the fellowship, they gathered together for the fellowship. Then in that verse we see that in breaking of bread and in prayer. These 4 things are like a walls of a house. A local assembly is built upon or surrounded by these 4 walls. If something happens to these 4 walls, the assembly cannot sustain. So the strength of the local assembly is these 4 things: apostles' doctrines, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So the prayer is one of the most important thing. You know, it is an important thing. You guys always used to say about that in the cell of a body, in the human body, we know we are made up of a lot of cells. And each cell is having certain organs are there. Some organelles are there inside the cell. Those children, they know very well. And there are certain, the nucleus is there, mitochondria is there, endoplasmic reticula, like that. So many things are there inside the cell. There's one structure called as mitochondria. And this small structure inside, hundreds of things are there inside the cell. This mitochondria, which is inside the cell, is called as the powerhouse of the cell. It generates power. It gives energy for the cell. If mitochondria is not there, the cell cannot function. So the mitochondria is called as the powerhouse of the cell. I always say like that, the prayer is the powerhouse of the believer's life. If there is no prayer, we will not have energy. So not only it is the powerhouse of the individual life, it is the powerhouse of the assembly. An assembly without prayer, it cannot remain. So we get all the energy to do something for the Lord. It is by prayer. So in the life of an individual as well as in the assembly, the prayer is a very, very important thing. Lord Jesus Christ visited the temple. He saw all the unwanted things happening there. Twice he visited the temple, we know that. In the early days of his ministry, when he started the public ministry, he visited the house of, and then said that, you made this house the house of merchandise, business. He tried to drive them away from that place. Then as the course went about 3.5 years, again he visited that temple. Then he said that, now what happened? There's no improvement. What happened? You made it the den of thieves. See the 2 things. If started with the merchandise, the house of merchandise, and finally it became the den of thieves. But he said that this house should have been called as the house of prayer. So the house of God, the house of God is not only the house of worship, it is the house of prayer. But what happened later on? The house of prayer, it should be called as the house of prayer. But in the history we see that it became the den of thieves. Then the Lord said, now it is your house. If that is the, it will be in desolation. We see the Matthew chapter 23, we read about that. He is cursing the whole house there, we see that. Then he is weeping about that house, and he is says that, now it is thy house. That is what they say. Now, Matthew chapter 23, 37 onwards, we read about that. He is looking at Jerusalem. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets, 23 verse 37, stonest them who are sent unto thee. How often would I have been gathered thy children to thee, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Now verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now it is an abominable thing, it will remain as a desolate. Your house is not referring to their house, dwelling place. He speaks about the house of God. He is looking at the house of God and says that your house is not using plural houses. It is in singular. That means the house of God, the church of God, became their house. And he says that because now the house of prayer became their house. And said the God said that it will become desolate. So that is true in the personal life and individual life. If we are not honoring God when we gather together in prayer, definitely our individual life also it will become a desolate. And also the local assembly. So the prayer is very, very important. The best example model for a man of prayer, who is that? The Lord himself. I don't think we can get a better man, a person who is an example for prayer. You look at that throughout, especially in the Gospel of Luke. More than seven times is referred about the prayer of Lord Jesus Christ. How much time he prayed? 10 minutes, 15 minutes? No. We read in elsewhere that he prayed the whole night he prayed. Whenever the various decisions has to take. And especially the important decision of selecting the disciples. That night he was praying the whole night. Sometimes we wonder why he need to pray. He's a God, he knew everything. It's true, he knew everything. Yet he communed with the Father. Because he has to entrust this entire responsibility to this 12. And whom he is going to select, he has to make the decision. The whole night he was spending in time with prayer. If the Lord Jesus Christ who lived on the earth, he needs to spend time in prayer like that, how much more we need to do? Why our spiritual life is so dull and dry and without energy? The simple reason, we hardly spend time in prayer. If we are commune with the Father, really we are energized and we can do something for the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed, in the starting itself he prayed. Mark's Gospel chapter 1, we read about it, how he started his life, a day. He started his day with a prayer. We read Mark's Gospel chapter 1 verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Early morning. At what time? Before the sunrise. Before the sunrise, Lord Jesus Christ rose and prayed. He is the best model for a prayer. Of course, he was a young man. You know, he was only 30 years at this time. To young men, they sleep more, isn't it? Old men, they won't sleep. They will get up early sometimes and all. They hardly get sleep. But youngsters, waking up the children is the biggest job for the parents early morning, isn't it? Big exercise. 10 times you have to call them. Get up. Who called Lord Jesus Christ? I always think about it. Who used to make him rise up from the sleep? He was sleeping. Early morning, he was sleeping. And I'm sure that his Heavenly Father used to call him. Heavenly Father used to say, tell my son, get up now. Time is up. Get up now. And we read, it's very interesting. I think I am shared, I don't know. There's Isaiah 50 verse 4 you read. It's very interesting how he used to get up. There's no alarm, nothing was there. But the Heavenly Father used to make him get up from the sleep. Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakeneth morning by morning. Who awakeneth? The Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father used to tell his son, my son, get up, get up, get up. Early morning, he awakeneth his son. For what? He waketh mine ear to hear like the learned. Then I listen to him. I listen to my Heavenly Father. What he used to tell? Here the verse is that how he has to spend the whole day. How he has to comfort the weary. What are the things he has to do during the daytime? All the instructions he is getting from the Heavenly Father. By morning, his Father awakeneth him, telling him, my son, get up. And he spends time with his Heavenly Father. That is why we read that in a solitary place he went. He prayed alone. So we see that is the very importance of the prayer. He is the best example for the prayer. He started his life with the prayer. And in the evening also we see that he went to the solitary place and prayed upon the mountain. Yes, beginning and the end of the day. Whatever he has to do throughout the day, he used to get instruction from the Heavenly Father. He listens to the voice of the Father early morning and used to do everything accordingly. And that is really the success of the life of a believer, life of prayer. And if this is true in the case of individual, it is true in the case of assembly. An assembly where it is not prayer is not there, it cannot grow. Yes, I know that our assembly, we are not that much a prayerful assembly. I think we need to improve our prayer life. We have to improve. But we have experienced the power of the prayer, I know very well. When we needed the things, we kneeled down and prayed continuously. How wonderfully Lord has answered many of our prayers. I think we have to do it. And definitely Lord will enrich us and will bless our assembly. Now, when we gather as an assembly, what are the areas, what are the things we have to pray, that we have to understand? Chapter 4 of God, Acts chapter 4, we see that how they were praying as an assembly. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Here we see the prayer of the first assembly. When the persecutions were there and they were praying. When they had prayed, chapter 4 verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. And where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. See, when as an assembly, when we pray, the place is shaken, that is mentioned. That was the power behind the prayer of an assembly. When we look at the local assembly of the early assembly, we see that the assembly started in the midst of prayer. First Acts chapter 1, we read that how the assembly started. There is mentioned about that they were all gathered together for prayer. And in the midst of the prayer, we see that the assembly was formed. First chapter 1 verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, who knowest the heart of all men, show which of the... Chapter 1 verse 14, it's not 24, verse 14. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. We see that they all gathered probably in the upper room. And in the upper room, they continued in one accord in prayer. That is very important. So they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication, and both the sisters and brothers were there. About 120 people gathered together in prayer. So we see that at that time, and the Lord has started the assembly. So assembly started in the midst of prayer. Now, the question arises, most of the time, we don't know how to pray. You know, we are approaching the Heavenly Father, and He is the King of the whole universe, and we don't know how to address Him, how to pray and all. Disciples came and asked the Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, I think every time we have to do the same thing. Oh Lord, teach us to pray. Because our prayer sometimes it becomes sin, in fact. So we have to be very careful the words we are addressing. And we read about that in Romans chapter 8 verse 26, says that we have, God has given us the Holy Spirit who is helping us in prayer. Because we don't know what the words we have to use. Many times our words are feeble words. So the Holy Spirit, He is helping us in prayer. So we always should seek the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Now, what are the areas or what are the things we have to pray for as an assembly? What are the things we have to pray for? There are so many examples in the New Testament. We see that assembly, what are the things they were praying for? And how they should pray and who should pray? Now, regarding the prayer, we see that the sisters, prayer of the sisters is mentioned, that they should cover their head when they pray. And only the men should pray. That is what the Bible says when the brothers are getting prayer is for men alone. Now, we read for a few verses, we will read. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13. How the sisters pray. When at the time of prayer, how they should do, what they should do is very clearly mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13. Judge in yourself, is it seemly that a woman pray unto God uncovered? That means during the time of prayer, the women should cover their head. It's very clear instruction. Again, you read the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. We see. No, not that. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 again. Who should pray is mentioned. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The sisters should be submissive and they should cover the head during the time of prayer. And here in this verse, very clearly, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, very clearly says that the men should pray everywhere. Men here is used is not in a general sense. It is specifically male members. So in a common gathering where men and women are there, only men are permitted to pray. This is a very debated thing. Many think that why the women cannot pray. There is no reference in the scripture. Here also very clearly says that everywhere, it's not that one place, everywhere is very clear. You see that everywhere men pray everywhere, lifting up the holy hands without wrath and doubting. So the men should pray in the common gathering where the men are there. But of course the sisters, if they are alone, definitely the sisters alone can pray. But if the men are there, then the question is why it is so? It's a matter of leadership. Because when a person in a congregation, this we should understand the difference. In a congregation, when a person is praying, all are not praying. But the person who is praying is a representative prayer. He is representing the whole gathering. He is leading the person in prayer. So in that case, what happened is that if a sister cannot lead, the leadership is the problem. If a sister is praying, that means we should not say, I'm into that. That's the way it comes. Because she cannot lead the congregation. So what I mean is that the brothers, wherever the brothers are there, only the brothers should pray. Man, in Acts chapter 6, again we read about that. The apostle says about two things. We don't want to involve in the service of the widows, they say. The reason they are saying that, we want to spend time in prayer and teaching the God's word. So again, here again, the prayer is assigned to the leaders. So it is a matter of leadership. So as a matter of leadership, when the brothers are there, sisters are not permitted to pray, especially in the church gatherings, that is them. But one thing we have to understand, early church, sometimes they used to gather separately. The sisters gathered separately. We read about that in the time of when Peter was imprisoned, and we see the whole church gathered together to pray. And in that prayer, as I have mentioned earlier also, the Lord heard the prayer of the church. Acts chapter 12 verse 5, we read that. Acts chapter 12 verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. So the whole church was praying. You know, the church was not a small number. 5,000, 6,000 number. It's a huge church. They are not gathering in one place. They were gathering in different places to pray. And it seems very clear from the following passages that in this house where they are gathered, it is only sisters gathered. Look at that verse 13. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a maid came to hearken named Rotha. So the maid came to open, she could not open. When she knew the Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She ran, she said, no, she didn't open it. And the others, they are praying for whom? They are praying for the release of Peter. While they are praying, God answered the prayer. Said that Peter is there. But what they said? No, no, you are not, Peter is not there. Maybe his ghost is there. You know, the God has answered the prayer, yet they could not believe. That is the sad thing. Sometimes it happens like that. They are praying for the release, and when the release, they could not believe it. So then we see that when he went on knocking, verse 17, then he came inside, and what Peter said, just you notice that, verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. What does it mean by that? From this very clear that in this gathering, only sisters were there. If the brothers are there, he would have said to the brothers, he said, no, no. He told to the sisters, now I am going to another place, but inform this matter to James the elder. He is the elder of the assembly. And the other brethren also inform. That means the elders and the other brethren, probably they may be gathering in some other place. This is one evidence which suggests that sisters can gather together for prayer. Some people are even objecting that. I think this is a very clear evidence where the sisters can gather separately and they can spend time in prayer. But when the brothers are there together, I think they should not take the matter of leadership. That is very important thing that we have to consider. Now, the question, what are the things we have to pray for? One, we have to pray for the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 13, we see that. We have to pray for spiritual things. Suppose there the context is this one. One man has the gift of tongue. And he goes on speaking tongues. But nobody understands. What is the use of it? There's no use, isn't it? If I know some Russian language, German language, and speaking on Germany and Russian, and here, what is the use of that? What I should do? I need an interpreter. So here it says the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13 says that, wherefore let him that speak in unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. He should pray that he should get, or somebody else should get, the gift of interpretation. So we have to pray for the spiritual gifts for the local assembly. Suppose we don't have, somebody is not having the spiritual gift, or we need more teachers, or we need some other gifts is needed for the those who are looking after the believers, exhortation, or caring the believers. If we don't have, the assembly is not having that, what we have to pray? That Lord, give someone or equip someone with the spiritual gifts. So we have to pray, an assembly should earnestly pray for the spiritual gifts, so that the assembly can grow well. Then what else we have to pray for? You note down. We have to pray for holiness. I am talking about the prayer of the assembly. Holiness, we have to pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 7. Now here Paul is praying for the Corinthian believers. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we appear as discredited. He says that, I pray to God that ye do no evil. So we have to pray for the holiness or the sanctity of the local assembly. In our prayer items, these are the items we should include in our prayer. First of all, we should pray for the spiritual gifts. Then we should pray for the holiness or the holy living inside the house of God. Unholy things should not come inside the house of God. Then again, what else we have to pray for the assembly? When we pray for the assembly, note down, these are the things we have to pray. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul says about the prayer he made for the Philippian church. Philippian church, what he is praying? Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now Paul is praying for the church at Philippi. When he was praying for the church at Philippi, what was the content or the theme of this prayer? That they should abound in the love of God. They should abound more and more in the love. This is another item we have to pray. If we feel that there is no love between us, if we feel that we are not loving the Lord much, we have to pray that we should love each other. Our prayer will bring these changes in our life. Now, another thing we have to pray for, the spiritual growth of the assembly, edification of the assembly. First Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 we read. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Paul here is praying for the spiritual growth, for the edification of the local assembly. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He is saying, I am praying for the church at Colossae. What he is praying? And to deserve that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, Paul was praying for the spiritual growth, edification of the church at Colossae. So, this is another item we have to include in our prayer for the assembly. The spiritual growth or edification. There are so many references about that. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, we have a same thing is mentioned. The spiritual growth, Paul was praying. He is saying that, brethren, pray for us. He is asking them to pray for him. There also, for the spiritual growth and the spiritual exercise, he was asking them to pray. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11 also, you can see that. He is saying that, for this cause God shall... chapter 1 verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith, and with power. So we see that, again, the spiritual growth, and he is praying. So these are the items we should include in our prayer. Again, James says, another item which we have to include, we have to pray for the sick ones. James chapter 5 verse 14. James chapter 5 verse 14. We say that we have to pray for the sick ones. If anybody is sick, that should be intimated to the elders. Verse 14 says like this, chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Of course, we don't do that, isn't it? Anointing with the oil. Is the oil heals? You read the next verse. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Otherwise, you would have said the oil would have saved the sick. Is the oil? It's not the oil, was the medicine used at that time. We should understand. Oil at that time used as a medicine. So, means we can use medicine, but who heals? Our prayer heals. It is not the medicine heals, as you understand that. Sometimes we feel that it is medicine heals. I really understood that later on when I had this problem of my leg, that is the time I really understood that body is responding. If body is not responding, no doctor, no medicine can help. So we had a very high, in my young age, I said, if any medicine comes, all right, we will be healed. Not like that. The body has to respond. If the body has to respond, God has to function. God has to work. So I do believe it is a prayer that heals. That's why we announce for this. Some people, the brethren people are a little funny. You know, they don't believe in much prayer and say healing and all. And we pray, that's true. But actually it is not the medicine heals, let me tell you. It is not the medicine, it is our prayer that heals. It is not the oil. Here very clearly says, you anoint him with oil, but what is healing? The prayer of faith is healing the person. So we have to understand this truth very clearly. Here what is mentioned? If anybody is sick, but don't tell anybody. It's like that. Yeah? Some people are very confidential. They will not tell anybody. So you call your elders. Tell them. Call your elders and pray for you. Some people think that let the elders know that we are sick. You know, they should find out, research and find out who is sick. You know, it's not like that. If I am sick, I should inform my brethren. I should tell the brothers to come and pray for me. I am sick. So, we have to make known to the brethren. That's what I mean. We have to make known to the saints, and their prayer of faith will heal us. So, anointing of oil is not the main. Anointing oil, as I told you, you know, the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament, we see that oil is used for healing. Many times. The man who was on the roadside, the Good Samaritan, what that happened? Good Samaritan came down from his animal and he poured oil and wine. Oil and wine is used as a medicine at that time. Oil is an olive oil. And it is used as a painkiller. It relieves the pain. So oil is a painkiller. Wine is antiseptic. It is an alcohol content is there. It is used as antiseptic. So we nowadays use painkillers and antiseptic. At that time they were using oil and wine as antiseptic and painkiller. So anointing with oil is used as a oil as a medicine. And even though we take medicine, it is God who heals us. Now, we see that these are the things. And what else we have to pray for? We have to pray for health and wealth for others. For the believers, even for us also. We read about that. One verse we'll read. Some people, they are against praying for health and wealth. Now, turn to 3rd John. 3rd John. John, the elder, he is praying for a brother called Gaius. What he is praying? Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. See, he says that I desire that you should prosper. I desire that you should be healthy. So we should pray for the welfare, material welfare, is not a spiritual, is a material welfare for others. Some are against praying for material welfare. This verse says that we should pray for that. Why? The Gaius, his reason for that, he says that Gaius was a man who opened his house for the hospitality. His service was so available to the local assembly. Many used to come in his house as a guest and they used to stay there. So John knew that his health is very important. His wealth is very important. He is wealth, accumulating wealth, not for himself. For the service of the Lord, he is accumulating wealth. That is why he is praying. Oh God, give him the health. Give him the wealth. So that he can serve you better. So we should pray for others. Those who are serving the Lord, especially with their material things. Lord should prosper them in materially. That is what we say. So the assembly should pray for such ones also. For the spiritual. Then another important area where the assembly has to pray. For the Lord's servants we have to pray. Romans chapter 15 verse 30. Of course Paul in various places he says, pray for me, pray for me. So we have to pray for the Lord's servants. Romans 15 verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. As an assembly, you pray for me. Why he is in the following verses, you can understand. He wants to do the ministry. So various ministry that Paul has to carry out, he says that you should pray for me. Are you praying for the Lord's servants? We have to pray for the Lord's servants. Prayer in the Bible is called as a labor. It's a hard work. It's not an easy work. It's a hard work. We read about an elders. Elders, they should pray for the congregation. We read about an elder who was very hard working elder. He was praying for the spiritual growth of the local assembly. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. We read about Epaphras, the who is praying for the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. The words which is used are very interesting there. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. He is a deacon of that assembly. Probably an elder of that assembly. Greeteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, here is an elder, Epaphras. He was so concerned about the church at Colossae. And he says that I testify, I witness, I am sure that Epaphras is praying for you. He is in the jail, in the prison, in that rough surface of the prison. He knelt down and prayed for you. What was the prayer content? That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So he is desiring that the believer should grow in the will of God. And here it is mentioned, it is a labor. Laboring fervently in prayer. There are two labors are mentioned. That is, those who are laboring in the word. Some people think that preaching is a very simple thing. It's a lazy man's job. That's what people think. It's not like that. What Aaron said, Pharaoh said, you want to go to worship, why? You are lazy. That's the people say like that. But actually, laboring in the word is really hard working, let me tell you. Very, very hard working. Sometimes I struggle to share the God's word. Sometimes there are a lot of, and prayer is much more hard working. Why you know that? We sometimes just kneeling down and praying is what is our problem? The satanic forces are attacking us. The Satan doesn't like a believer who is on the knees. He hates that. And so he doesn't want anyone to pray and kneel down and pray. He understands the power of prayer. You look at that, if you kneel down and pray continuously, so many disturbances will come. The Satan will try to distract our attention. So, we have to understand, we are fighting with the powers of the darkness in prayer. It's a battlefield. So, in that battlefield, we have to struggle. That is why Paul says that he is laboring fervently in prayer. So prayer is a battlefield, and we have to overcome and that, and we should be victorious in this prayer. So these are some of the things and items that we have to pray. Now normally our major items in our prayer, what is the prayer item? Traveling mercies, isn't it? That is our major item, because easy to say, anybody can listen, no problem. Is it mentioned in the Bible? Yes. Of course we have to pray for traveling mercies. I am not against it. It should be there. I think I was trying to find out, is there any verses? I only found one or two verses. I think one verse I found it. That if Philemon verse 22, it seems to me it is referring to that. It seems to me that is referring to the traveling mercy. Philemon verse 22. At the same time, prepare me also a lodging. Paul is telling to Philemon, I deserve to come to you. You prepare me a lodging, make a house for stay for me, my accommodation you prepare. Then he says, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Through your prayers I shall be given. That means I want to come to you and you pray for me. That is what it means. So we have to pray for traveling. There's no harm. That is what the James says. Don't say that I will go to that city and do so and so business and make money. Don't say that. If the God's will, I will go to that city. That means the prayer is behind that. If the God's will is there, I will go and do so and so. So we have to, whenever we travel, we have to pray. So these are the various items we should include in our prayer. I just say in a random way, I selected some of the items. You can systematize it. I just noted down the verses. I was searching for the verses. What are the items of the prayer of a local assembly? The most important thing is edification, spiritual growth of the local assembly. And we have to pray for that. We have to pray for love for each other. We have to pray for the holiness. And we have to pray for the sick ones. We have to pray for health and wealth of our fellow believers. And we have to, more important, we have to pray for the Lord's servant, those who are ministering. Paul says that when I open my mouth, I want to get utterances, words I want to get. And pray for that I should get an appropriate word. Why, Paul? You have 3 MAs, isn't it? 3 MA literature, very highly qualified Paul. He is struggling for words. Yes, that is what Paul says. When I stand up, I want the proper word to utter. So I always struggle. I just, please pray for me. Let me tell you, when I stand publicly to word utter, sometimes after the meeting I realize, oh, that word I should not have spoken. This word I should not have spoken. You know, sometimes by mistake the words comes. So I do believe the prayer of the saints will bring the Lord's servant with the appropriate word. So Paul says that when I open the mouth, let give you prayer that I should get utterances, I should get the words. So pray for the Lord's servants, those who are laboring for the Lord. So these are the items we need to include in our prayer. Let me tell you once again, the house of God is the house of prayer. The prayer, I think we need to include. I think we have to work out of our prayer meetings of the local assembly. I think we should improve that, as we saw that our Friday meetings are the most weakest meeting, isn't it? Friday meeting, only 2 or 3, if it comes, sometimes very absent, everybody is absent. So that happens. I think we have to improve on that, and we have to change the pattern, which will help us to grow spiritually. And definitely, I enjoy whatever may be. Whenever I come for the Friday meeting, I enjoy the best meeting of the whole assembly is that meeting. Even though 2 or 3 are there, I really enjoy praying for all the saints, kneeling down and praying for them is the greatest joy. So I think we should improve our prayer meeting. May God bless these words to our heart.